Hello, everyone. I want to talk to you about an interesting machlokes that exists concerning the mitzvah to build a mishkan. It's a mitzvah which you've been immersed in now for several weeks. It's one of the largest topics that Hashem devotes an enormous amount of time and space in the Torah to. Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Kisisa, and the Parshos of Vayakem Pikudei, which we're going to learn together on Shabbos. They're almost all exclusively about the mitzvah b'yosoli mikdash v'shachan tibzocham, built for me a base of mikdash so that I may dwell in your midst. If you look into it, we see that the Torah speaks in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh in the first part, almost the first half of Parshas Kisisa, all about the different aspects of the building of the Mishkan. Then, towards the end of those instructions, we find the following interesting warning that Hashem gives to Bnei Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. Yom Hashem Moshe Lema v'yatah dabel Bnei Yisrael Lema ach eshabsosai tishmaru. Hashem says to Moshe, please, you speak to the Jewish people and tell them, however, a big but, Eshabsosai tishmaru, you must observe my Shabbos. Ki osi ben ivein eichem, l'dar seichem, l'das ki ene Hashem kadishchem. It's my covenant, my symbol between me and all of you for all the generations that you should know that I am God who has sanctified you. And it continues, Ushmatim es Shabbos ki kodeshi lachem, mechalalem os yumas. You must guard the Shabbos because it is holy. Those who do not desecrate it are subject to a death sentence. And then comes some very famous words, v'shomu b'nei Yisrael se Shabbos. B'nei Yisrael must observe the Shabbos. Last of Shabbos, there are some Yisraelim that do it for all eternity as a covenant. It is a sign between me and the Jewish people. That in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. So Rashi is very emphatic about what the lesson of this is. Rashi writes, Atah, you Bnei Yisrael, afopishe fikadetich letzavosim amalechas amishkan, Moshe, you who I have charged to go and command the Jewish people to be extremely enthusiastic and to donate generously in order to build the Mishkan. However, the big but, al yakel beinecha litchos as Shabbos mevnei yosim locha, do not allow Shabbos to become cheap in your eyes, that God forbid that they should push aside Shabbos to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. And then Rashi iterates it, where it says, achashabsosai tish Moru. So Rashi says now about Bnei Yisrael, not just Moshe, who's the commander in chief and giving them the instructions. Afo pishatiyu medufim, who's the reason for his reasons, melechas a mishkan, atitcha Shabbos mifanei. Even though you're going to be extraordinarily generous, you're going to be overwhelmed with enthusiasm at the thought of bringing down Hashem and the Shechina from heaven and earth to reside right now amidst in the Mishkan. It doesn't matter. Don't make Shabbos cheap that you can push it aside. Shabbos is number one. The Mishkan is number two. And that actually seems to be confirmed, you know, clearly in the message that Hashem delivered to Moshe. And now Moshe in Parshas Vayakhel that we read delivers to Bnei Yisrael. Because when he opens up with the gathering, as we're reading on Shabbos, Vayakhel Moshe is called as Bnei Yisrael. He speaks to them, and the first words that come out of Moshe's mouth, Sheshes Yomim Teyaseh Melacha, V'yam Shvi Yelechem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbaton Hashem. Before he even brings up the topic of building the Mishkan, he warns them 6 weeks. 6 days a week can the work be done. The seventh day must always categorically be a day of rest and do not do any work. And then he goes into the whole project of building the Mishkan. But clearly, he begins it with the prerequisite knowledge that you cannot be Dochei Shabbos. You cannot push aside Shabbos, even for this holiest task of creating the Beis HaMikdash, or the temporary Mishkan that served as Hashem's residence during this period of time. Now, that makes a lot of sense to us. Right, this might be what we would call a mitzvah bar avera, a sin which is done through the means of a mitzvah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us a mitzvah that involves an avera, it undermines and invalidates the entire merit of the mitzvah. Mitzvahs that are done, like when you're famous in Sukkah, Lulav HaGazel, you steal a lulav and an esrog, and then you're going to stand and shake it on Sukkahs. Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is an abomination. It is a terrible, terrible thing to do such a thing. So this makes a lot of sense, as I said. But it's important to note that it's not the only opinion. One of the most brilliant of later authorities living in the 20th century was the Meshech Chochmah, Meir Simcha Dvinsk in Europe. He wrote a sefer on the Rambam, the Yar Sameach, and he wrote a magnificent sefer they've often quoted on Chumash, known as Meshech Chochma. It was a favorite of the Briskes, or my Rebbe, and others. Very brilliant, very analytical, very, very incisive. The Meshech Chochma contends that this may not be the case, as Rashi said. The Meshech Chochma points out that it's interesting that in the first discussion of the topic, which, as I said, is in Parshas Terumah and Parshas Tetzaveh, in the first half of Kisisa, it's all about the building of the Mishkan, V'yichuli Terumah, gather all the nations, and only at the very end does Hashem speak up and say, but, you know, the commandments about Shabbos. Whereas when we come to our parsha of Vayakhel, where Moshe has gathered all of Bnei Israel, Moshe puts the commandment about Sheshes Yomim Teyasem Melach of Yom Kodesh Shabbos Shabbosom Hashem. He puts that first. So why is there a strange, you know, anomaly here that when God talks to Moshe, it's first about the Mishkan and then Shabbos. So Mishkan sounds like it's number one and Shabbos is number two. But when Moshe talks to Bnei Yisrael, it's the opposite. First he talks to them about Shabbos, and only then does he talk to them about the Mishkan. So Meshech Chochma very daringly, in his typical courageous style, very brilliantly suggests that there was a change between the number one instructions from Hashem to Moshe and the number two instructions from Moshe Bnei Yisrael. Comes something else, something that was monumentally important and horrible, catastrophic, and that was the Chet HaEgel that we read last week in Parshas Kisisa. First, we have the whole description of building a Mishkan, then the warning about Shabbos, and then comes the Chet HaEgel. And afterwards, we have again, but now the reverse order, the warning of the not building on Shabbos before all the instructions of Moshe that he transmits to the people. The Meshech Chochma says that according to his understanding, there was a transformation, a fundamental change that happened as a result of Bnei Israel worshiping the Egel HaZahav. And what is that? So the way Meshech Chochma explains it, and this is something my Rebbe very, very much seems to have endorsed, that Shabbos and the Mishkan represent two critical dimensions in Jewish philosophy as well as in halacha. There's tremendous importance to Shabbos, as we all know, and of course, tremendous, tremendous holiness and importance on every level to having the Beis Hamikdash, and we yearn for its rebuilding when Mashiach comes in Yetz Hashem. What's the difference between Shabbos and the Mishkan? So the concept, as Rav Soloveitchik often like very sharply formulated, is Judaism is about Kedusha, Kedoshim Tihiyu, make yourselves holy. But there are two different realms in which Kedusha operates, in which we can sanctify ourselves. One of them has to do with Kedusha's Makom. There are places that are holy. The Beis Hamikdash is the holiest place of all. Eretz Yisrael has unique status as Admas Kodesh, the holy land. Our shul, every shul, is called the Mikdash Ma'at. It has holiness, and you can't treated like a home. It has certain restrictions that a home or private, you know, domain that we use for office space or whatever doesn't have. There is a concept of Kedushas Makom. Places can become holy, and there are gradations of holiness. All of Eretz Yisrael is holy, but the Gemara tells us, but Yerushalayim is holier than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and the place of the Makom HaMikdash is certainly the holiest in Yerushalayim and the holiest in terms of geographic, you know, holiness that one can find. But even within the Beis HaMikdash, they call it Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, where Hashem resides in the Shechina and the Kohen Gadol, and only the Kohen Gadol can enter. Then there is a Kedusha known as Kedushas Man, and that's about how not only is there holiness of place, geographic location, there is holiness in time. And the ultimate holiness of time is Kedushas Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos. Hashem created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day, and he told us to imitate him. The notion of Imitatio Dei, to walk in God's footsteps and imitate the Divine One, Shabbos to Shabbos Kodesh. And so, which of these two is more important? So initially, according to the way Rav Soloveitchik understood it, initially, maybe what the Meshech Chochma is suggesting is that initially Kadosh Baruch Hu thought that the holiness of place could perhaps transcend the holiness of time. But after Bnei Israel built the Egel, when they showed that intellectual weakness, that they need something physical, something tangible, something concrete to hang on to believe in God, and to contribute their goal to build an idol against the second commandment, don't make any image of me, I am incorporeal, I have no body, I have no physical dimension to me. That made Kadosh Baruch Hu realize that there's dangers to the concept of Kedushas Makom, a place, and that maybe that should not be the number one priority in terms of the hierarchy of holiness. The ultimate holiness is not about making places holy, because you can turn objects and even places into temples, and they become holy in their own right, but there's no sense of God's presence there. They're devoid, right? And so that is dangerous. The real holiness, said Rav Soloveitchik, and this is what the Meshech Chochma clearly must be driving at, the real holiness is to be Mekadesh Zaman. That's what Shabbos represents. Shabbos doesn't need a place. Wherever you are in the world, the seventh day, the day God rested, the way that we rest, that we vayinafash, we spiritually recharge our batteries, that is the greatest holiness. In Judaism, there's no greater sanctity than the sanctity of time, because time means life. We know Pikuach Nefesh is the greatest of all the mitzvahs. We fulfill the mitzvah of saving life, even at the expense of desecrating Shabbos and desecrating everything else, because time, buying time to a person and making that person be able to use time and to sanctify time, that is the greatest thing in the eyes of Judaism. So this is what Hashem wanted to teach us at the end. It changed because the people exhibited that weakness with the Egel. Kedushas Zman, making our lives holy. Certainly Shabbos Kodesh and Yom Tovim HaKodesh, but even every regular day, infusing it with acts of holiness, of learning, of davening, of doing incredible Gemilas Chesed. That is the true holiness, and that becomes the number one priority of all of Judaism. Take care and be well.